Spurs fans, we know it's a long, cold winter. But let's warm you up with the latest on the crew. It's time for Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. The 2019 championship season cannot get here quick enough. What an amazing run in 2018. But time to turn the page and look toward the future. Get the latest free agent signings, trades, the front office, the fans, and more. Heading into our 14th year of Brewers coverage, it's Hot Stove Weekly on The Fan. Here's your host, the franchise, Tim Allen.
And welcome in, Brewers fans. It is a final. The offseason is done, and now we can talk some Brewers baseball. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, obviously, as a first edition of Hot Stove Weekly for the 2019 championship season, as we get you ready to go for the Brewers to take the next step after really an amazing, let's face it, fun time in 2018. Come up just a little bit short, and you can't wait to get back at it. David Stearns, Craig Counsell and company. There are some changes made. We're going to get to that. Speaking of David Stearns, he joined the afternoon program, the big show, earlier last week, and at the toy drive had some interesting things to say. So we're going to hear from general manager David Stearns. Ryan Horvath is alongside, also Bill Baby Tau Schmidt, who was scheduled to be with us today, but apparently called in sick. Is that right, Ryan?
Do we have confirmation on his whereabouts? I talked to him via text about an hour ago. He said he was good to go. I called him. It went right to his voicemail. You know, usually, like, if my wife calls, sometimes I'll hit it if I'm doing something, or she'll do it vice versa. So I thought I got the FU button, but maybe it's something up with his phone.
No, and I know he's fighting through some. That's why he's not in studio. He's pretty sick.
Yeah,
there are some things going on there. So, but he did agree to join us here, and in sort of a celebration, sort of a wrap up. I mean, I went through a lot of different things since the Brewers were eliminated, Game 7 of the NLCS, and just the mere fact that you can say that is to some people pretty special. And it is, you know, pretty cool when you really get down to it that, you know, it was that far, and it was, you can say, Game 7 of the NLCS, first inning, Yelich with a home run, and you're 8 innings from a World Series appearance for the second time in franchise history. It didn't happen, but nonetheless, a little bit of a roller coaster ride, and what an amazing finish in 2018. I just can't. Those of you that want to do a little search in radio.com app, Fan on Demand, 105.7 FM, thefan.com, I'm sure you can find the 2018 retrospective and go back and give that a listen, because what they did late in 2018 was truly a run. I mean, that might be an understatement. I go back and go over some of the notes and some of the game stories and what we had talked about and discussed on the post-game show. And just, you know, the finish and the streak and the game 163 and having that game down at Wrigley Field and coming out with a 3-1 victory to take the division champs, and, you know, you sweep the Colorado. It's just an amazing run down the stretch, and it you just felt like it was going to continue. You really did. It had that vibe. It had that special vibe to it, didn't it?
Oh, it really did. And I mean, you mentioned it right there. It's kind of a once in a lifetime season. I mean, you're going to get some competitive teams, right? You're going to be in the hunt. You're going to compete for a pennant. But as you just mentioned, you go to Wrigley Field for Game 163. You beat your arch nemesis. And I mean, especially heading into that season, you know, when the Cubs make that signing of Yu Darvish and they pick up Tyler Chatwood and they already have all those pieces, they won a World Series 2 years back, you're thinking these guys like Kyle Schwarber, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, they're only going to get better. And when you come up on top and you win the division, it just makes it that much more special, in my opinion. It's like, you know, growing up, you root for the underdog, right? You grow up and it's like the Dark Lords out there. The Yankees are out there. They got the biggest payroll. And you always root for the little guy. But the little guy, this isn't a fairy tale, right? They usually get bumped to last place and get knocked around, and the big market teams come up on top. This year was a different story. That's what made it more exciting. Just like the emergence of Christian Yelich, a great player, but we didn't know he was going to be an MVP candidate. Lorenzo Cain had a terrific season. The bullpen, I mean, Josh Hader, probably the most dominant pitcher I've seen in the last 10 years, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder what his role is going to be. We're assuming that it's going to be generally the same type of role heading into the 2019 championship season. But, yeah, it really was something else, man. And David Stearns, the GM of this team, has turned things around in a way in which we really have to pinch ourselves really to get a full grasp on things a little bit. We get caught in the storm of a great run toward the end of the campaign. And we don't realize how quickly that was turned around. The trades, and everyone was saying how long it would take, et cetera, et cetera. And David Stearns just continues to impress me for what it's worth. And I don't think he loses any sleep over, you know, impressing me, but certainly well worth pointing out that this guy has not only turned things around in the time frame, as I said, but he also is really holding himself accountable. And that's the important thing here. And Billy and I have discussed in the past couple of years, and certainly over the past 13 seasons of Brewers coverage here on the station, have discussed the bigger market teams and the bigger payroll teams and the economic structure of baseball. Okay, that being said, the higher payroll teams can afford a bump in the road, can afford a mistake.
A Tyler Chatwood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely they can. And they can afford to kind of, chew on a contract a little bit. These Jeff Suppan-type deals for the Brewers, Kyle Loesch, Randy Wolf comes to, these types of deals, although they did achieve some success, so that's to be measured in a certain perspective. Those types of deals are hard to overcome for a market size and a payroll of what the Brewers have, for example. And what I'm getting to is just continue to be impressed by David Stearns, General Manager David Stearns, and Jonathan Scope in that situation. In that situation, they non-tender him on Friday. They had till Friday to reach out and make him an offer. Well, it was going to be receiving 8.5. He was going to get a little bit of a raise. It was looking to be around $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about what they were going to have to pony up for Jonathan Scope. Now, we all know what happened there. Jonathan Scope, I want to say it as nicely as I can, was pretty bad.
Yeah, he started one of the team's 10 postseason games. That's how bad. He had 4 homers in 46 games and 134 plate appearances. So that's one way of putting it.
They were putting Travis Shaw in their lefty-lefty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the matchup or the splits said that it should have been Jonathan Scope, but you couldn't do it. Now, David Stearns steps up recently, and here's a quote word for word on the Jonathan Scope deal or the Jonathan Scope situation. Impressive. Quote, look, I view it as a bad deal, and that's on me. I like that out of this dude. How do you not like that out of your general manager here that steps up, holds himself accountable, and he's going to admit and not spin it and not try and skirt it and talk around it when asked about it? Again, the comment word for word, quote, look, I view it as a bad deal, and that's on me. He continues, we looked at the performance Jonathan had both with us and beforehand, did our best to evaluate him over the course of his career. We looked at our best educated prediction going forward and a potential price tag going forward, which is important here. I'm adding this, which is important here. Given the economic structure of the Brewers. He continued, we compared to our internal alternatives compared to what's available externally and decided to go in this direction. Those are the comments. Way impressed.
Oh, absolutely.
Way impressed.
You never
see
that.
This young dude. No, you don't hear that stuff. Generally speaking, you don't hear a guy holding himself accountable that way. And he called it a bad deal. And a lot of times, man, If he's going to do that, I like him even more than I did prior to those quotes. We're going to hear from General Manager David Stearns coming up during the show. Brewers made some coaching changes, and we'll get to those. Pretty interesting. Are they earth-shattering coaching changes? No, from my seat. But are they for you guys? We'll discuss that. Get you caught up with a new Brewers pitching coach, despite the success, new pitching coach, new hitting coach, new athletic trainer. I mean, there are some changes. New bullpen coach. There are some changes on the Brewers coaching staff, which, quite frankly, all of it surprised me except one. And we'll talk about that coming up. First edition, Hot Stove Weekly. Tim Allen, Ryan Horvath expecting baby Taus as well. 14 seasons of Brewers coverage here at the station. Now, again, each and every winter, Ryan, I don't know if you're aware of it, but I go over the timeline of when I got hired here, which was October of 2005.
Okay.
And, you know, just to do some sports talk shows. And again, I'm just telling this because I do this every December when we start the hot stove season, just get people caught up. So I'm hired in October 2005. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer kept pestering me. Hey, you got to, you know, I was had my hands full with a country station. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer says, hey, man, you got to come up and do this thing. Nah, you know, I got to follow through with my other stuff. Well, country station went under. It went a different format. Okay, Sparky, get me in. He got me in. I appreciate that, always. And we talked our boss into doing a Brewers postgame show beginning in 2006.
And you had to talk him into it, huh?
We did.
Okay.
We did, and he said you don't stand a chance in hell.
Really?
Making it work. That's what he said.
Have you ever called him and or like showed him the ratings of...
No.
Because let me tell you, I put on Twitter that you were coming back, you know, for the season, but the show was beginning tonight, and like instantly, man, everything just blew up. People are excited about this Brewers team. Has it been like this, or is it just kind of picking up a little bit more, you know, with success?
No, I think it's a fan voice and a platform for us Brewers fans to gather. And Stevie and I have always said this, that we've done this show way prior to 2006. We used to do this show in the 90s. It just wasn't on any radio station.
Right, on a bar stool just, or... Yeah,
it was. You're absolutely right. It was literally at the bar, or it was over the phone, and we'd be, you know, really getting jazzed up about Jeff Juden and some of these guys.
Yeah, right.
That were pulled in here, and you know, when we see Billy Hall getting called up, we're like, yeah, now's the time, and things like that.
Yep, Billy Hall Day, and yeah, those are the best times though.
Indeed. So I'm really privileged and just lucky, really lucky to be doing this now. 14 seasons. We'll talk more Brewers baseball after the break here. Coaching changes surprised me. We'll talk about that next. Hot Stove Weekly, first edition of the 2019 championship season on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You're listening to Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back. Tim Allen, Baby Taus, Bill Schmidt, and the 2019 championship season has begun in our world. Indeed, it has. Can't wait. Looks like the bullpen's going to get a little different makeup here, and we'll see. But there are some coaching changes. Billy, 2019 championship season. That does sound good, right?
It sounds great, and I like that you bring up the coaching staff changes, Timmy. Obviously fitting today. With how much talk is going on about 1265, but wouldn't you know, you cater to your best player. And Andy Haynes brought in as the new hitting coach, a guy that has a long track record with Christian.
I think Billy's in the caves with Bin Laden. Let's try to get him back.
get a better sell out of him.
And, all right, I'll talk with you in a second here, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. He was referring to the coaching changes, and that's what I want to get to. Derek Johnson, I mean, a lot of people were praising him for what he got out of not only the starters, but that bullpen. He leaves. This was a shocker to me. Let's not mince words about it. That was shocking that DJ leaves for the same position in the division, the Cincinnati Reds. Now think about that. I mean, okay, if you're going to go to a big-time baseball school or something, be a head coach to be a little bit closer to home, if you're going to go and be a manager, or, you know, be a bench coach, a big market, set yourself up to be a manager somewhere. I get all that. This is the same position in a market size similar to Milwaukee.
No doubt.
In a team that's clearly rebuilding and some years away. And we said it toward the, there was a couple of comments after it happened.
We got the return of Baby T.
Okay. We said it at that point. Billy, you and I had discussed it briefly on the air. But there has to be something a little bit deeper with DJ leaving. It's the same position in division for a lesser team.
Well, and I would imagine it has to have something to do with philosophy. And it also has something to do with money. I don't think DJ was lying fully, Tim, when he was talking about being able to shop himself around. That really does not happen in pro sports. When you're the assistant coach, being able to shop yourself around for one team like the Reds in a division, which right now, guys, looking at going into 2019, is probably one of the most competitive divisions in baseball, if not the most competitive, because the Reds are no joke in the amount of runs that they can put up, and they finished in fifth place. It's a great decision, I think, on Derek Johnson's part, being able to shop himself around. But you're right. When you are a game away from going to the World Series, it's not expected that you're going to lose three members of your staff and a guy that was thought to be one of the key parts of why you were able to do it with less.
Yeah, and the new pitching coach is now going to be Chris Hook. He was a longtime member of the minor league system for the Crew, 11 years in the organization, latest title pitching coordinator for the Brewers system. And that's a good thing, though. I mean, when you look at some of the younger arms coming through, if he's got a working relationship with these guys, yeah, it could come in handy.
Well, especially because, I mean, you and I talked about, I don't know, just debuting Hot Stove Weekly, but when I think it was on the retrospective when you and I both talked, or it was on the morning show the other day when we were able to do the Tausch Turkey takeover, when you were talking about what exactly you're expecting this rotation to look like. You're thinking of Corbin Burns, you're thinking Brandon Woodruff, and also Freddie Peralta might factor into that equation at some point. And these guys all have cited out of, especially Brandon Woodruff. I know that's one thing that you and I have talked to him about, Tim, a lot in every conversation we have with him. It was evident a couple of years into the system, he made a mechanical change that was at, I believe, the AA level, and then something to do with somebody that's been in the system a long time. They obviously believe that Chris Hook is ready to be here with guys that, like we said, you know, this is a lot of mental stuff that a pitching coach is going to go with, or a pitching coordinator, excuse me, if I want to make sure that I have the term
at
right.
At that time, right.
But, you know, it's important that they're able to help these guys out mentally, because it is a grind going through 162 games, especially at 25 years old pitching the big leagues.
And throw his awareness and working relationship with Jimmy Nelson as well for a few years. That may come in handy as well. Darnell Coles, the hitting coach, as we move along here, coaching changes. Now he's out. He is going to the Arizona Diamondbacks. This one didn't surprise me. If there was going to be a coaching move, I think this is the one that would be it, and it was. And so he leaves. He is replaced by Andy Haynes. Last year, he was the assistant hitting coach for the Chicago Cubs, 41-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Spent 8 years in the minor league system for the Marlins. Prior to that, worked at a junior college and then also worked at MTSU. That's Middle Tennessee State University, as well as independent ball. So those of you that judge hitting coaches as non-factors, if that's the case, then why have them? So they are a factor, and I've always said that they have to have some impact here. I mean, if you're going to be the hitting coach for Christian Yelich, you just turn the other way and you leave that guy alone. But if you're a hitting coach, you know, for Jonathan Scope, little different story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and two, how about it, though, if you want to talk about Yelich? I don't know exactly how much of it caught in with you guys. Sorry about my reception out here in the infirmary as I'm nursing myself back to health. Mm-hmm. You get a guy like Yelich and Andy Haynes, who he's obviously close to, obviously worked with when he was with the Marlins, and maybe it's like an Alex Van Pelt. Aaron Rodgers was very, very upset when his right-hand man was taken out of there in Green Bay. Maybe for a hitting coach, again, it's a guy that is a consistent voice for these guys, somebody that they're comfortable with during the day when, you know, they're going two for their last 28, Tim, and then that's no place you want to be, but it's a very lonely place when you're talking about Major League Baseball. Good to have a voice that at least you can trust in there if obviously there is a relationship with guys. And who knows, you worked with a obviously good offense last year, but an offense that did slump towards the end of the year.
And now you have Lee Tunnell, the bullpen. What did Lee Tunnell do to anybody? I mean,
yeah, who knows?
No longer the
maybe
bullpen coach.
He just strong-armed the entire organization. He was the reason why DJ left, and then they said, you know what, we got to get rid of this guy too.
That's right. But, yeah, there is a new bullpen coach. His name is Steve Carsey. He pitched 11 years in the big leagues. His last job, the past three seasons in the Indians organization as AAA pitching coach. So he had a lot of experience there, and he's going to be the new bullpen coach.
You have a baseball card?
I do. And that's the first thing I thought of. Well, let me grab my Carsey cards. And let's see, assistant hitting coach Jason Lane will return, so that's a good thing. Head athletic trainer is now Scott Berenger. He was the assistant athletic trainer for the Houston Astros. He's going to replace Dan Wright, who was, well, what I had read was terminated. So, you know, I don't know what was going on there, but again, coaching changes a lot of times. For a successful team, you wonder why. You know, you do, and you wonder. Right. But you also know that they're human beings. And before the break, Billy, I'll let you comment on this. Why the changes at the highest level of the coaching staff that you have? Your pitching coach and your hitting coach, they both go.
I think a couple of the things that I thought of early on were one, once, you know, the moves were made and Derek Johnson primarily leaves, and then you're thinking, well, is Craig going to bring in a bunch of guys that he either played with or him and Pat have relations to back from their Notre Dame days, or is it another manager from a college team that Murph knows?
Right.
And you know, you try to connect the dots with some of these guys. I think a lot of it came down to Tim looking around and figuring out that we always say that Craig is still learning how to be a great manager. And sometimes early on, you need new voices and fresh perspectives of making sure that what you're doing is right. And the Brewers have had Darnell Coles for a long time, Derek Johnson the last few years, and they have reached a level of success, especially with the pitching staff. I mean, the pitching coach, I think, is the one that really surprised you. I mean, you mentioned Darnell Coles. No one was really that surprised about Darnell Coles leaving.
Right.
I think that is a fresh voice that makes a lot of sense. The Derek Johnson one is where you start wondering if there's a reason why he was looking to go elsewhere, and if maybe it's because of the way Collins is managing, or maybe it's the way that Derek Johnson thinks is going to be his quickest way to being a manager, or you know,
yeah,
so on and so forth. But ultimately, there is some kind of personal reason why a coach is willing to leave when he's a game away from coaching in a World Series and being able to get a ring, and that's ultimately why you do this. So that's why you're in this business. I mean,
every single
day you go to the ballpark, you're there to make sure that you can put a ring on that finger.
Yeah, you're right. And just to summarize and add to it, that you know, you seize the moment too as a dude that wants to make more money or wants to have a higher level job, and maybe it was the time to seize the moment, because were they blocked to move up the totem pole, meaning manager, here in Milwaukee? Not anytime soon, man.
No,
it wasn't going to happen.
And probably a bench coach role is probably out of the question too. And you look at Cincinnati, right? If you're Derek Johnson, and we don't do Reds post game, so we're not going to talk too much about it. But think about who they've had for a while. I mean, you and I joke about Sal Romano, and how are you not knocking three or four runs off Sal Romano in three innings? But there's young talent, or supposed talent, in that Reds bullpen and on that starting staff, but they started Homer Bailey on opening day for, I think, the fourth year, and the dude is one of the worst pitchers statistically in the last 7 years. There's a lot that he can do in Cincinnati, and maybe that is his quickest way to being a manager.
All right, Billy, we're going to turn you loose here. I know you're under the weather, so get better, and the 2019 championship season cannot get here soon enough.
Hey, 71 days until pitchers and catchers report in Arizona. We'll be there a little bit later on, but looking forward to it, my man.
All right, take it easy. Happy to talk with Baby Tosh Bill Schmid, as, again, he is under the weather. David Stearns met with our friends on the afternoon program, the Wendy's Big Show. We'll hear that next here. You're listening to Hot Stove Weekly, the latest on the Brewers on The Fan.
14 years and running. The best Brewers coverage on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I've said it for a long time as we welcome you back into Hot Stove Weekly, the first edition of the 2019 championship season, that we're fans here first, at least on this show, and then we'll go from there to be a broadcaster. So I appreciate hanging out with you guys as a Brewer fan. And Billy, Baby Tosh, always gives me grief. Horvat, you do too, to a degree, about, you know, my little Brewer baseball cards and bobbleheads and pennants and giveaways and scorecards and programs and pencils. And but that's being a fan.
See, I'm the same way, just more with Packer football, but I'm the same exact way, man. The programs, I go to the game, I keep the stat sheets. I'm the same way, though. It drives my wife nuts because then it sits around, you know, collects dust. And but I, you know, I'm the same way. And maybe one day we'll be able to pass it on to somebody that'll appreciate it, right?
Or they'll throw it in the garbage.
Or we'll die. Or maybe we could die with it. It'll come to our graves with us.
I can't imagine my son, in his haste, going through a lot of these, you know, game notes, if
right,
you will.
Right.
You know, like you go into the press box and there's a couple of stacks of papers there. Yeah, game notes for this, blah, 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 blah. And I always just grab one, fold it up, and bring it home, throw it in a bin.
Same here. I grab everything. I don't care what it is. I'm grabbing it, man.
I know that. I know that, me too. So I appreciate you guys hanging out with me as Brewer fans. And Billy certainly was a guy that, you know, listened to this show well before he was on it. As a little kid, actually appeared on this show with Sparky and myself back in, I don't know, when he was probably 12,
wow,
literally. And so I know he's a big fan, too. And that's the fun part about this. And success certainly doesn't hurt at all. I'm a little disappointed with the over and under total set forth in Vegas on our Brewers 2019 championship season. We'll get to that in just a bit. Also, some news and notes. I love that part of it, where there's some former Brewer news, there's some signings, there's some releases, there's some guys who were just waived and cleared waivers and elected. For example, I'll just give you one example. Jed Bandy, no longer with the organization. Cleared waivers, signs a minor league deal with Texas Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Brewers do sign Jeremy Jeffress. He will be back despite a little bit of a hiccup in the postseason. I think it's well worth $3 million, I think $3.2 for the 2019 season. So we'll make heads or tails out of some signings, some roster manipulation and roster moves. But first, let's get to GM David Stearns as he joined the Wendy's Big Show at the Toy Drive. Some interesting comments, and Rami starts things out.
Before we move ahead and some of the things that you guys are going to have to decide this coming offseason, David, let's talk about what's already transpired since the end of the season. Bullpen coach gone, hitting coach gone, strength and conditioning coordinator gone, and I think the biggest loss in a lot of Brewers fans' eyes is pitching coach Derek Johnson is out. Was this type of turnover something that you guys were expecting or knew was a possibility after being one game away from the World Series?
Probably weren't expecting it, to be perfectly honest. But if you look around what's happened in baseball this year, there's been a ton of coaching staff turnover throughout the league. And I think executives all around the league are trying to understand what happened and why exactly it happened this way. But there are a lot of coaches whose contracts happen to be up at the same time. There are a lot of teams looking for coaches. And ultimately, we lost a couple of guys, but we think we brought in some very good coaches as well. And we're excited about bringing in guys like Chris Hook, who knows our system really well, to be our pitching coach. Excited to bring in Steve Carsey from the Indians organization. Exciting to bring in Andy Haynes to be our hitting coach from the Cubs organization. So anytime you lose valuable coaches like we lost, it's disappointing. But we're also very much looking forward to adding those new voices to our staff, and we know those guys will make an impact.
See, and this is the conversation I don't want to have, Mark, about losing David Stearns. Well, you know, we didn't expect it. But see, that's what I'm talking about. This is my point. Because, again, this is what scares me, keeps me up at night. I don't want to go through this with Stearns. Listen, I was hot when y'all lost Derek Johnson because –
That's his dude.
That was my pitcher coach. I was like, I don't care who they get as a pitcher. He'll figure it out one way or the other. So at the end of the day, do you guys as an organization have some type of philosophy or guidelines as far as, okay, we're only going to go this far with, you know, bench coach, only this far with pitcher coach as far as how long the deals are, a more year-to-year thing, or am I going to go past 3 years, or is there a structure like that in place, or you're like –
Or do you have
really
a budget,
right. You're really good. I'll give you 5 years of whatever. It changes per guy.
There's always a budget, and there's always limitation. Right. I will say that you know, we do value our major league coaches, and in the case of Derek Johnson, we had extensive talks to try to bring him back, and DJ got a really good opportunity with the Reds, and we wish him well.
And he's in the division.
And we're looking forward to having Chris Hook be our Major League pitching coach. He's done a tremendous job helping to develop a number of our young pitchers who contributed down the stretch last year and who are going to contribute for us going forward. And we think he's going to be a really quality Major League pitching coach who will pick up and we won't miss a beat.
You guys are a very analytically driven team. It's not the only source that you use for scouting and decision making, but it's a pretty significant source for you guys. How much is handed down to the coaching staff, the pitching coach, the hitting coach, etc., from you and the front office in terms of what you want done and how you want it done, and how much do you leave in the hands of those coaches to be themselves and use their own methods and techniques?
Well, ultimately, a coach's job, first and foremost, is to connect with players.
Right.
Coaches need to be able to connect with players. Coaches need to be able to teach. And so when we look for coaches, at the top of the list are people who can teach and people who can build those relationships with players so that there's a trust level. Regardless of how good the substance may be, if you can't build that trust level, you can't build those relationships, it's not going to matter. You need to have that foundation set with all players. And certainly there's collaboration between the front office and our major league staff, and there's collaboration between the front office and coaches at all different levels of our organization. But step one is having coaches who build that relationship, and we've been very fortunate to have that.
That you're going to go out and you're going to explore, you're going to find out everything about anybody who might be out there and what it might cost you to get them, and then analyze cost versus benefit and then make a wise decision. We shouldn't necessarily put all our hopes into the baskets of these rumor mills, should we, when they say the Brewers have inquired about?
I think that is a very fair and rational approach.
Okay. And Brewer fans should ignore both of these men.
Which is tough to do sometimes. But sure, my job is to understand the market on all available players, especially if those players can help the Milwaukee Brewers. And a lot of the players who are being discussed out there could fit on our team. A lot of them would also cost us a significant amount more than we're willing to pay from a prospect perspective. And that's been the case in a lot of these rumors that have come up over the past 3 years. And I'm constantly asked, why didn't we trade for this guy? Why didn't we trade for that guy? And I generally can't and don't get into specifics. But the reason usually is we just weren't willing to meet the price. And that's okay. We have to set boundaries on what we're willing to give. And a lot of the players who we got questions about why we didn't go and acquire, it would have cost us players who helped us get to Game 7 of the NLCS last year. And we have to be cognizant of that. Those players are very important to us now. They're going to be very important to us in the future. And so we need to have that balance of going out and making a big splash like we were able to do last year with bringing in a Christian Yelich, and also preserving our youth and our talent that's under control.
Yeah, now is it 5 o'clock tomorrow? You got to make some decisions.
7 o'clock tomorrow.
7 o'clock tomorrow. Can you just give me a nugget that I can tell on social media with a guy we're going to
just break a story
We had Anthony Helmy on earlier, and he brought up Travis Shaw and, you know, how much flexibility that really gives you when you start talking about the fact that he was able to go to second base. And I said, wait, hold on, Adam. Because what we don't know is this. And I said, I was going to ask you. So you guys go last year to Travis Shaw and say, hey, man, could you possibly play second if it allows us to get a third baseman at the deadline? Travis says, sure, whatever you need, I'll go play second. But is that the same as saying, hey, Travis, want to play second for the rest of your career in Milwaukee? Because we're going to go sign a third baseman this year. Is that a separate conversation, or was that all part of the same conversation as far as him possibly staying at second, going into next season?
That would need to be a separate conversation.
That's another conversation,
and,
right?
And look, Travis is the ultimate team guy.
Right.
And I think he demonstrated that he's willing to do what is in the best interest of the team, and the versatility that he displayed this year going over to a position he had never played before and picking it up and playing pretty darn well over there. That's pretty impressive.
Whose idea was it?
That was kind of a communal idea with Craig and me, and we both discussed it. We thought it had some merit. Craig thought that he could do it. He talked to Travis about it. I talked to Travis about it, and Travis was excited about it. He was on board. He wanted to prove, I think, that he could do it. And remember, this is a guy who predominantly played first base as a minor league player,
went
to camp with the Red Sox, recognized that his chance to make the team was likely at third base, spent a whole lot of time playing third base, and won their opening day job. And so this is a guy who's done this a couple times during his career. He's proven he can do it. It adds a different dimension to his game, and it certainly helped us last year.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about Jimmy Nelson because I think he's going to be something in the future. We really was hoping to see him come back, but the injury, two-year injury, how's he coming along? Have you checked in on it? Oh, sure you have, but how's that working out?
So Jimmy is now technically done with the rehab process. So that's encouraging.
Well, that's some breaking news nugget for us.
There you go. So that's encouraging for all of us. He is done with the rehab process. He's going through his normal offseason routine, which will involve a progressive throwing program here as we get into the new year. We expect him to be ready to go in spring training. The caveat there is with an injury like that, you really don't know what to expect until a pitcher gets back on the mound in a competitive situation, in real competition. And so we're going to have to let Jimmy go at his own pace. I think we're all cautiously optimistic that he's going to be able to impact our team this year. But we also understand with a magnitude of the injury like this, we have to see how it goes, and let it progress as it should and not push the envelope.
So he wouldn't report with pitchers and catchers?
He will.
Oh, okay, good.
He'll report there.
He just might not have the regular workload.
That's exactly
okay.
Right. That's exactly right. And look, there are going to be times where Jimmy, I'm sure, comes up sore, and we're going to have to back off a little bit, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And there are going to be times where he feels good, and we can push him a little bit. But we believe that the rehab portion is done, and we're going to have to see how it progresses now as he really gets into a normal spring training routine, normal game action. If we need to pump the brakes a little bit, we will. The key here is to get a healthy Jimmy Nelson, because a healthy Jimmy Nelson is a really good pick.
And there he is, General Manager David Stearns, joining the boys on the big show. Just this past week at the toy drive, and just one small little tidbit and comment there is that I'm a little nervous about the Jimmy Nelson situation, where they said, he said, admittedly, we'll have to back off if there's soreness and things like that, which would be apropos to all pitchers, really, when
right.
you get down to it. But a little concerning, I thought it was full go, full normal off season, regular, and I get competitive nature pitching is really going to be the tell all on Jimmy Nelson. But
do you think any of that has to do with Tim? Sometimes we kind of rush professional athletes back. So do you think maybe he comes back, there is a setback, and people freak out? So maybe he's just covering all bases, or do you
I'm
think
I'm freaking out now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe the mindset. Or the philosophy should be just to expect to move forward without him, and then when you get him, it would be a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that's a better way to sleep at night for me as a Brewer fan, that don't hang a lot on what Jimmy Nelson did in 2017 heading into 2019. All right, there were some moves, interesting stuff here. We'll get into some news and notes here. First edition of Hot Stove Weekly, talking some Brewers baseball to warm you up ahead of the 2019 championship season here on The Fan.
What are the Brewers doing behind the scenes? Which former Brewer is making headlines? It's time for Brewers News and Notes. This is Hot Stove Weekly on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, I've been gathering news and notes all off season. What a long time of gathering news and notes. What,
a whole month?
Been?
Yeah.
Yeah, about a month. That's a good thing. That's always a good thing when we can get back to Brewers baseball as soon as possible. Those of you that are going to casually pay attention to the Brewers, Don't freak out, because we get this just about every year, Ryan, where mm-hmm. people say, well, these guys aren't signed yet, and when are they going to sign them? They're arbitration players. That's what they are. That means they're still under team control. Don't worry. It's just a matter of whether they go to an arbiter and they get a raise. Team offers this amount. Player wants this amount. If they cannot agree on an amount, then it goes to arbitration. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to lose them. Players that are left in that situation right now, Manny Pena, Domingo Santana, Travis Shaw, Zach Davies, Junior Guerra, Corey Knable, and Jimmy Nelson, Hernan Perez, and Tyler Saladino signed, so they avoid that situation in their respective positions. A couple of catchers that the Brewers have lost, and some, one or two, I would say both at one point were fan favorites here, Jet Bandy and Steven Vogt. They both leave, clearing waivers, and Jet Bandy already signed a deal with the Texas Rangers, a minor league deal. I'm not going to be able to get to all these notes here, so I'll save some for next week. We're on at the same time, 7 o'clock Monday night. They sign, you know, Angel Perdomo. Okay, that's a minor league contract with a spring camp invite. Now, I'll go over the nuts and bolts of a signing like that as we move along here. So there are some, you know, signings that you're going to say, who? But that has happened before, and that particular player has made the roster. So it doesn't necessarily, because you haven't heard of them, mean that they're not going to have an impact here. Now, let's see. Trey Supach added to the 40-man. That just protects them from the Rule 5 draft. Yohandre Perez signs, a right-handed pitcher, to a minor league deal.
Is it bad that I'm rooting for a lot of these guys to make the big league club just so I could hear people pronounce their names throughout next season? Okay.
Yes, Edwin Jimenez, a minor league deal. So we got a lot of things like this. I'm just trying to scan here but what might be a little bit more at the higher level. Okay, to catch you up. Curtis Granderson, Gio Gonzalez, Wade Miley, all elect free agency. Same with Moustakas, Soria, and Jordan Lyles. So all those guys that were a huge part of the run down the stretch are going to exit, at least for now. Tyrone Taylor added to the 40-man. Here's a fun one. Former Brewer Brandon Kinsler. The Cubs exercise his option. Willie Peralta, speaking of former Brewers, one-year deal, Kansas City Royals, reviving his career, $3 million. Good for you, Willie.
Yeah, $3 million. Bones, damn.
$3.2 million for Jeremy Jeffress. He is going to be back. And finally, a franchise record, 54 players were used in the 2018 championship season, 29. Of those rostered were pitchers throughout the season. So a few news and notes, some Oliver Drake news, some Mike Fiers news. We'll get to all that stuff in the next edition of Hot Stove Weekly. It comes your way next Monday night at 7 o'clock. Hopefully Baby Tausch can join us again. And Ryan Horvath, you're going to be here, right?
I'll be here. Hopefully Billy's feeling better, man. I'm worried. He's been sick for about a month now.
Yeah, it's a little something. There's all sorts of... He's battling some things that need to be taken care of, but we wish him the best. All right, that's going to do it for us. You guys have a great week. I'll see you next, I guess, Sunday morning. You'll see Ryan and I for Fantasy Football Weekly, and then it's Hot Stove Weekly the next day. That's Monday night, 7 o'clock. For Ryan Horvath, Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night, and I love saying it. It means it's baseball conversation. Till next time, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.